Carolina, thank you so much for talking to us today.
No, thank you so much for really talking about this. Domestic violence is an issue that affects many of us. The other day, I read a statistic that says that 50% of women will be a victim of some sort of domestic violence at some point of our lives. So it's very important that we talk about this. It seems like we talk about this on the news, on the radio all the time, but we need more information out there for the victims to know that they do have an option. They do not have to stay with a guy that's abusing them.
And can you tell me more about what motivated you to start writing about domestic violence?
Well, I think just by being a news reporter and seeing all the statistics, unfortunately, I have never been a victim of domestic violence myself. But seeing how every day, if we wanted to, we could have a story about domestic violence. But I feel that, yes, we talk about the numbers and 50% of women, and every 9 seconds we have a victim of domestic violence in the country. But unless we give a space, a name, a first name and last name, a face to these numbers, we're not going to be able to really change the culture of domestic violence. So when this story came to me, I was very surprised because the girl that was murdered, she was from Puerto Rico. She was very well educated. She spoke 3 languages. She was an attorney. Like, she knew the law. So it goes to show you that domestic violence can happen to anyone. So I wanted to read a book. I wanted to write a book with my co-author, Diane Montaigne, a book that really sent a very strong message about domestic violence, that it could happen to anyone. People think, oh, domestic violence only happens to women that do not have any education. It happens to the rich ladies. It happens to the poor undocumented lady that just crossed the border. Domestic violence never discriminates. And that's why we wanted to give a face to it. So if a teenager is reading the book, they could see themselves reflected on that story and say, hey, this can happen to me. I need to put a stop to this relationship.
And how long will you say you've been writing about domestic violence?
Well, I've been interested in the topic for many years now, but writing this book, the case happened in 2010. It just came to me. Some girl had met an event from my station, my previous news station. She called me and she said, Carolina, my best friend is missing. So from that point until she was found, I was covering the case. It happened in 2010, but the trial of the man that murdered Debbie was postponed on 7 occasions. So we had to wait 5 years to be able to publish the book. Even our first publisher said, hey, you guys need to publish or I'm dropping the contract. And we said, well, then drop it, because we wanted at the end of the book to send a message. At least if someone reads the book and says, okay, at the end, the person who killed Debbie was sent to prison for life, we're not going to be able to have a happy ending to this book, but we at least wanted to have justice. So that's why it took us 5 years to finally be able to publish 6 months after this man was sentenced to life in prison.
And in that period of time that you've been writing and being involved in this, have you seen any change in people's response to this problem?
You know what? I would love to say yes. And I think little by little, we're trying to change that culture. Little by little, the immigration agents, the police departments are understanding that this is a big issue. But I think we all have a very long way to go, especially in the smaller cities. In a big city like LA, like Miami, police departments at least have a little more understanding of what happens inside a house when you get there and there's an undocumented lady that speaks no English and she wants to come to you and tell you, hey, I'm a victim of domestic violence. But they're afraid of the police department. So at least in the big cities, I've seen a big change because I feel that the police departments have understood that this is going on and this is a very silent crime. I feel we need to change the culture also at home. We need to tell our friends, our sisters, our daughters that this is something that goes on. People, especially the Latino community, were taught since we are little that if we get married, we have to stay married forever. And this is not true. I understand that a lot of women are embarrassed to tell their family members, I'm a victim of domestic violence, and therefore I'm getting a divorce. But I say it's better to be embarrassed about getting a divorce than happy having your family go through losing you. So the answer to your question, yes, it's changed, but I feel very little, and we have to do more about this. And what we can do about this is what you're doing, talking about this.
You mentioned undocumented ladies that, you know, sometimes they can't go to the police because they don't speak enough English to say they're being a victim of domestic violence. And my question is, why is domestic violence so prominent in the Latino community?
It is prominent, especially here, because these women are crossing the border and they meet this man, and these men know that these women are not going to go to the police department and report them because they depend on them for a legal status. Many of them even try to tell them you cannot speak to your family. But when people talk about domestic violence, people say, I'm not a victim of domestic violence because my husband doesn't hit me. And that's not true. Domestic violence in West is when your family member, your husband or wife, comes to you, screams at you, abuses you mentally, physically, or even tries to for you to be isolated and not talk to your family members. So a lot of these women are even being victims of that. A lot of these women are crossing the border, meeting these men, and then these men are like, you cannot call back your country. You have to be at home just cooking for me. And they feel that they have no other option. They feel that if they go to the police department, they're going to be deported. And this is not true. When a woman goes to the police department to try to report a crime about domestic violence, at that point in time, the officer is not looking at them as an undocumented immigrant. They're looking at them as a victim. And if that's the case and they go, they're going to get all the help that's necessary. And even they can even qualify for some kind of immigration relief, the so-called visa U, the U visa that's granted, of course, if you qualify for victims of domestic violence and their children.
And now that you mentioned the children, you know, what about these kids? How are they being affected by this? How is, you know, everyone around this situation is being affected?
Yeah, that's totally correct. Everybody gets affected, especially the children growing up. If you see that your parents are abusive towards each other, you're going to grow up probably being like that. You're going to grow up maybe traumatized. A lot of when there's an abuser at home, many of the times the abuser doesn't only concentrate on one person. If the abuser is abusing the mother and the child, let's say he says, oh, please don't hit my mother, he's going to end up being hit also. So these women, if they don't want to speak for themselves, they have to speak at least for their daughters and sons that are at home. We've seen cases where men are so outraged and so upset that they go home, they kill their wives, they kill their children, and they can't take it anymore, and they commit suicide. We see these stories all the time. Five people found dead inside a house, and what happened? Who killed them? At the end of the day, we find out that the children, the wife got murdered because the husband got upset, and then he couldn't take it anymore. He took his life. There you go, a family just ended because a woman did not go to the police on time. And I'm not putting any blame on any women. I know it's very difficult to go and talk about this. It's embarrassing. They are afraid. They don't want to be alone. But it's their life we're talking about. We need to, if we know that a neighbor is being a victim of domestic violence, I wouldn't hesitate to go knock on their door and say, hey, do you need some help? If you hear that your neighbors are screaming to each other and that it's getting very violent, don't worry about privacy. Call the police department and let them handle it.
Can you tell me more about a story you covered of an undocumented mother whose young son was kidnapped by the husband and taken to Mexico? How was your experience covering that story?
This was a very sad story, but I'm very happy that it had a very, very happy ending to it. In Las Vegas, okay, Nevada is one of the states where you have more domestic violence cases in the country. So there's a lot of domestic violence organizations. A lady whose name is Rebecca Ferreira, she was a victim of domestic violence. And ironically, she worked for the Las Vegas Police Department in the domestic violence unit. She got so tired of listening to stories about domestic violence and being a victim of domestic violence herself, that she opened up this little organization to help women. The first day that she opened up, she met this girl, 21-year-old Mexican, undocumented, mother of one child, who was being a victim of domestic violence at home. This guy would get so upset at her when she was pregnant. He would leave her outside the house, in the patio, in the cold or in the very hot weather, just waiting for him to feel better. When she decided to leave him, he left to Mexico with the boy, and she didn't know anything about this. This is kidnapping, because none of them had the legal custody, because they were not legally married. When you're not legally married, you have to go to court and say, okay, who's going to have the custody? So this was considered kidnapping. This 21-year-old girl was just desperate. We were able, through a campaign, to find this guy in Mexico and return the boy to the United States. Now she has the humanitarian visa, the U visa. The little boy is now like 8 years old. She's learning English. And this goes to show you that you can do something about this. This was a very tragic story in the beginning, but it had a very happy ending. The man returned to the United States with the kid, and now she's happy.
And what happens to the undocumented abusers who are arrested?
Well, undocumented abusers need to know that if police find out that you're abusing someone, you're going to be deported. There's no relief for them, even if there's an immigration reform. They will never qualify for an immigration reform of any kind of relief if they have been convicted of domestic violence. Domestic violence is one of those crimes that immigration and the United States, they do not tolerate. In the case about David Flores Narvaez, the book I wrote about, the judge, she really wanted to send a very strong message about this, too. I remember in court, they were trying to paint a picture of the victim and say, oh, she was a stalker. He did it on self-defense. And on many occasions, and this was something that as a woman, it made me feel very proud, she would be like, I do not want to hear this. There's no excuse why someone should kill someone else. And there's no excuse why a woman should be a victim of domestic violence. So this is a crime that the United States do not tolerate.
And I know you talked a little bit about this, but I would like to know about your new book, Dancing on Her Grave, The Murder of a Las Vegas Showgirl. How do you find the story? And can you tell the listeners what the story is about?
Well, the story is about a 31-year-old girl. She was from Puerto Rico. She lived in Baltimore. She had 3 degrees, very well educated. She spoke 3 languages, Spanish, English, Portuguese. But she was tired of being an attorney. You know, when we turn 30 years old and we say, you know what am I doing with my life? So she said, I'm leaving to Las Vegas. She left to Las Vegas against her family's wishes. And in Las Vegas, she wanted to become a dancer. She was a natural, very talented girl. If someone can just Google her name, Debbie Flores Narvaez, you'll see what kind of beautiful girl I'm talking about. In Las Vegas, she found fame. She found jobs in different casinos as a dancer. And she also found this guy, another well-known dancer in Las Vegas, who had a domestic violence problems with him, very, very extreme problems. They met, they fell in love. He ended up killing her, and he dismembered the body. I found out about the case because her best friend called me one night before I went on air, and she said, Carolina, I'm worried. My best friend, Debbie, did not show up to her job tonight. She was going to be the main star of a show called Fantasy in the casino Luxor in Las Vegas, the one that looks like a pyramid. And she was going to be the main star. They had a red carpet. They had singers for her, and she didn't show up. So her best friend knew her and said, I know Debbie wouldn't have missed this opportunity. At first, the police department didn't think she was missing. They just thought, oh, well, this is a dancer. She was an exotic dancer. She danced topless. So maybe she just left for the weekend with a guy. And we started covering the case. We were the first media to really cover the case at first because nobody was really paying attention to Debbie's being missing.
You know, some people want to know a little bit more about this and they want to know how they can help. So what can we do as a community and as women as well to help victims of domestic violence?
You know, domestic violence is something that we talk about this every day. It's as easy to go to Google and just write domestic violence in English or Spanish or any language, and you'll be able to find a lot of resources. A lot of the community organizations also help, legal help if you're married and you have kids and you need to know, okay, what are my rights? A lot of these organizations offer help and tell you what are your legal options for the undocumented. They can just go to their consulate and find out information. There's shelters available where they have housing, food, education for your children. So it's just as easy to go and ask. The thing is not about not knowing what to do. It's just about being afraid to do it.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for your time talking about this topic. And I just feel that if at least one person that's listening to us can just say, I'm a victim of domestic violence, I'm going to put a stop to my relationship, I'm not going to wait until my husband that's now screaming at me every day at home is going to hit me and then kill me. We need to put a stop to this early on in the relationship and learn to know the signs of an abuser and know that domestic violence can happen to anyone, and it can also happen to men, and they're even more embarrassed to say it. But as long as we continue to talk about this, we're going to create a culture of people not wanting to tolerate domestic violence. And if someone wants to get a copy of my book, they can get it in Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Dancing on Her Grave, The Murder of a Las Vegas Showgirl.
Thank you so, so much, Carolina, for talking to us and, you know, giving us more insight on what seems to be a forgotten topic. And you're right, we should talk more about this. So thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you very much.
That was 3-time Journalism Emmy Award winner Carolina Sarasa, news anchor and correspondent for Mundo Fox in Los Angeles. For WNIN, Paola Marisan.